Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Thank you for having me today. And I'm recovering, so I'm not real strong, but I'm strong in spirit. Amen. And I love this time of year. I love celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the lights. I love lights. You know, at 4th of July, I'm one of those, isn't that pretty? Oh, look at that. You know, I love lights. I love the lights at Christmas time, and I just love celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to tell you what we've been up to. Our oldest grandson turned 15 in October, and he's looking forward to driver's license and permit, I guess, and stuff. But he plays basketball for the freshman team, but he's also got to play JV basketball. And that's pretty exciting. And I've not got to see him too much yet this year. So he's involved in that and enjoys it. The next oldest, Joel, he's 8 years. See, I got, good thing I don't have 100 grandkids, right? Just got a few, got to tell you what they've been up to. So Joel, he's 8 years old, and he has been in the swim team at the Y. And he's competed in USA Tim's swim teams or something, USA sanctioned and different things. And he's got a lot of ribbons, you know, for first place, second place, third place a down. And he really enjoys that. And he does pretty good. And so this is his first year of competing. And so he does real good. Now we go on to Jude the Dude. Jude the Dude is a different story. Jude the Dude was supposed to take some money into school this week because he got extra milk. So his mom gave him some 55 cents to pay the school teacher for his milk. And he says, I'm going to go up to her mom and I'm going to say, here you go, you filthy animal. And his mom said, no, you're not. Don't you dare, or you're going to get your hind end swatted pretty heavy. So she didn't get any reports back. So I think he took the warning pretty well. And it's too much home alone. Yeah. And for those boys, they don't need to be watching anything like that. Trust me. They think up of enough on their own. And then Jensen, he is in a preschool. And Jensen's already cost me $40. He's clipped off the chart twice. And so I had started last year anytime they would clip off, and that's for good behavior, that I'll give him $20. Well, last year, Jude did four times, and so that cost me $80. And so Jensen has cost me $40 this year, and we're still trying to figure out how he clipped off. We have no clue. But he has, and he showed us the paper and stuff. And then we've got a new addition this summer, and that's Josie Grace. And she's just a little butterball and growing big and looks like her mama and has the same kind of hair that just flows in the wind, you know, and stuff. So that's the grandkids. And praise God that Josie Grace, she's a big girl. She's a big girl. She reminds me of Cassie was a big girl when she was a baby. And Josie Grace has got thighs you wouldn't believe. And Jessica used to worry about Cassie whenever she was, you know, around two, and Cassie was pretty chunky. And she says, Mom, look at those legs. I said, when she starts walking, they'll slim down. And they did. But Jessica, she was ready to put her on a diet plan, you know, at 15 months old, you know. We've got to get those legs slimmed down somehow. But you never know. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited to be with you here today. And Oh, yes, I forgot Cannon, didn't I? Yes. Cannon come into our house Tuesday night, and Cannon's Mammal's boy. And you know, of course, sometimes he throws Greg a bone. He'll say, I'll be your boy, but he's Mammal's boy. And not very often, you're right, and because Mammal will watch Monster Jam with him. Y'all know what Monster Jam is, the monster trucks. We love them. Y'all watch TV, don't you, or YouTube, or you ever see those trucks that they're built way up in the air, and then they do flips? I love them. And his mom and dad's taking him next year to one at Indianapolis, a Monster Jam, and he says, Mammal, you're going with me. I said, I think I will. You know, they don't want to go, but I do. And so we watch Monster Jam together, and so he come in Tuesday night, and I had my pajamas on, and I had socks on, and he ripped my socks off, and he says, those are stinky socks, and you're not to wear them to bed. Said, smell of them, they're stinky, and he threw them up on my table, and I thought, I know who's been talking to him. You know, he has stinky feet, and they won't let him wear his socks to bed. So he was taking my socks off and doing, but he was going to sing 5 songs today for the Christmas program, so I don't know if they've got him out of there yet or not. So he's not shy of the microphone. So that's all of the grandkids. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Down here? Okay, did I have it up by my nose? Now can you hear me? Am I okay? I may have this thing who knows where. Just help me this morning. Amen. Praise God. Who knows where it may be time I get done here. This morning, I want to talk about something. I wished I could bring you a very happy Merry Christmas message. You know what I'm saying? But my message is happy. It'll be happy when we get done. Amen. But this morning, I want to talk about a spirit of grief. And I realize that even though I enjoy the holidays, and you may enjoy Christmas and the lights and celebrating the birth of our Jesus, for some people, this is not a good time for them. And I don't understand that. I'll just tell you up front, I don't understand it. I dealt with, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was a spirit of grief. But when I was 17 years old, I lost somebody very close to me in a car accident. And he died, and that spirit got in me. Now, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't saved. I didn't know there was anything as, you know, demon spirits or angels or God or anything else. And I just know that when he died for 3 days, I couldn't tell you what happened. Whatever they expected me to do, I did. And so at the end of 3 days, when I went to the funeral home and seen the body laying there, it brought me out of it. But the spirit stayed there and tormented me till I got born again. You ever hear the songs Crying in Your Beer? Well, that was me. You know, one of those country western songs about, you know, singing the blues, that was me. And the drunker I get, the more I cry. And so I dealt with that till I got born again. When I got born again, not only did God clean me up on the outside, he cleaned me up on the inside. But I didn't realize that a spirit of grief had entered in. I didn't realize it was a spirit. I thought it was natural and normal. If you lose somebody, you grieve. You know, you mourn for them. And it is to a certain extent. It is. God gave us emotions. God gave us feelings. And, you know, as the older we get, it seems like some we're losing people around us. I did Greg's sister's funeral yesterday. It was the eighth sibling that I had done. Not counting his mom, not counting his brother-in-law, not counting a nephew, not counting another baby. And but it was the eighth brother and sister besides all these others. And, you know, I thought, here we go again. You know, here we go again. I've been preaching the same message for 36 years. You got to be born again. And, you know, to get to heaven. And, people, there was a minister once that he couldn't handle thinking that the people that raised him were older. They were good, moral people. And they never got saved. And he couldn't stand the thought of them going to hell. So he brought up this reasoning that God is love, and therefore God won't send anybody to hell. And he started this inclusion that everybody's going to heaven. There was even movies made upon this premise, and Christians just thought it was the most wonderful thing. Well, God doesn't send us to hell. We choose. We choose. We choose what we're going to do in this life, and we choose how we're going to spend eternity. And so yesterday I thought, here we go again. Same message. Been preaching for 36 years. But I want you to know after the service that a relative of Greg's how old is she? 85 years old, and she's of a denomination that has never heard about being born again. And she got born again yesterday. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she told Greg after the service, I prayed that prayer, and says, I hope I'll make it to heaven. He says, you will make it to heaven. If you prayed that and believe that in your heart, that you'll make it to heaven. And so I thought, hallelujah. Amen. And so I want to talk today, some things, how we can't let grief get on us. Are you ready for it today? Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your anointing upon your word. And Father, we thank you, Father, for your goodness toward us and your mercies, which are fresh and new every morning. And Father, we love you. We thank you for this time of this year. We thank you that you've provided all things for us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to look at some things here. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. And I've only preached this one other time at my own church, and because I tell you what, you can not recognize how grief is trying to get on you, or you can just get used to it and think it's part of life, and it's not. God doesn't want us burdened down with grief. Amen. He has called us free from that. Matthew chapter 5, are you at verse 4? It said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Now, it's all right. We're people. We're normal. We lose somebody we love. We mourn their loss, you know. But there's a difference between mourning and then getting into grief. Grief will take over your life. You won't enjoy life anymore. I like the Webster's Dictionary. The definition of grief is a heavy emotional weight resulting from loss. It's a heavy emotional weight resulting from loss. So grief can come in when you lose somebody. Grief can come in as a result maybe of a relationship that ended that you didn't want it to end. Grief can come in many different ways. And we have to recognize when it wants to try to get into us. Like I said, when I was 17, I didn't realize that grief had got into my life. Now, I seen a result of it later on, and then I was freed from it when I got born again. But God doesn't expect us to get into the grief. We can mourn somebody. We're not robots. we lose somebody, we miss them. Sometimes there's changes in our life as a result of losing somebody. And we have to realize there's always going to be changes in our life. I remember when Jessica got married, our last daughter from home to get married, and we sit there, then she got married on Friday night. Saturday night, we sit there and looked at each other, what are we going to do? You know what? Because she was our chauffeur. She was our cook. She planned our activities. All we had to do is jump in the car and go. You know what I mean? We didn't want either one of our girls to get married. They were fine living at home. We were fine with them living at home. Amen. I don't know why they wanted a husband and kids and all that stuff, you know. Right, Shelby? No, Shelby. Okay. But I remember us sitting looking at each other, think, what are we going to do now? And now when they all come, we think, okay, isn't it about time for you to go? You know, we like peace. We like quiet. I mean, we had just the two girls, but when they come in, we would call them a tornado and a thunderstorm, because once they hit the door, peace was gone. It was like, you know. And so we looked at each other, and there was a change, you know. And so we've got adjusted to that change. And so our whole life is made full of changes. And so we just have to know we need to go along with whatever changes God's got for us. Amen. That He is going to help us. And that when we lose somebody, He is going to give us the comfort. We lost Greg's brother. He was 30 years old. And are you okay? I'm not putting a damper on your Christmas celebration. It's going to get better. We're going to get free from this. Amen. But his brother Scott was 30 years old when he was down here at Evansville to a concert, and something happened, and he died not instantly, but almost instantly. And Scott and I were real close. And we worked together. He called me his fat little buddy, because I would be pregnant, and the apron strings I wore, they asked me, when you're going to quit work? I said, well, when I run out of apron string, when I can't get an apron around my belly anymore, you know. And Scott was always at our house, you know. If he knew it was fried chicken night, Scott was following me home. And so whenever he knew that there was going to be food, he followed me home. And we worked side by side at work. And so we were real close. And so I ended up doing his funeral with another pastor. And so afterwards, you know, and the Lord had gave me the scripture and gave me what to speak about the very night that he passed away. We didn't even know anything had happened. And so I began talking to Greg about Scott and how he had once been saved, and how, you know, he had once saved, and if he had just continued on in the Lord and stuff. And then we got a call a few hours later that he had died. And I didn't know that grief had got in me. It got in me again this time. And I would just be driving down the highway or something, and I'd just start crying. And I knew I could not get a handle on it. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. And this went on for a few weeks. And so we had Full Gospel Businessmen. And now, when I got born again, you know, if you had anything inside, you know, anything inside of you, rejection or that, they wanted you to take you back to your mother's womb. Anybody remember that? You got to go back to your mother's womb, and let's see what your mother imparted into you, and all that nonsense and that junk that did not do a bit of good. And it was just junk. And so I told the Lord, I said, the Lord, I said, I can't handle this. You're going to have to help me. And so we had Full Gospel Businessmen, and there was a Catholic priest there that night. Now, he wasn't used to eating the food, and he spent a lot of time in the bathroom. And so we would pray, and we would wait, and so finally I said, Greg, you better go check on him. And so finally he came out. But that night, I can't tell you what he preached on, but he had a simple prayer. He says, if you've lost a loved one and that's got a hold of you, we're going to pray tonight, and God is going to deliver you out of that grief. Well, this was my answer, and God did. He delivered me out. That I could remember Scott and laugh and joke and no longer be painful. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so, but I thought, I still didn't realize a demonic spirit had got a hold of me. And I just, you know, I don't know what I thought. I guess I thought it was part of life. And because people act like that, and they let that grief get a hold of them. Now, let's look over. Are you still with me? Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I guess I'm a little slower to grasp a hold of some things. Amen. And because you can just get used to, you know, that was just the way it was. People lost somebody, then they, you know, they just might go off into the deep end or something. You just never knew. And I didn't, you know, I'd seen God help me, but I didn't realize it was a demonic spirit that would try to get a hold of you. Amen. And that demonic spirit wants to get a hold of you to destroy your life. People that are Christians have lost loved ones. They have no joy in this life anymore. They have no joy in Christmas. They have no joy in their family left behind. They have no joy because of maybe someone's passed away. And I just couldn't understand that because, you know, if we're Christians, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference who comes or who goes. Amen. We're still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our commission is not ended because someone has left this earth. Amen. Our commission is not ended. As a matter of fact, when one minister, her husband went to be with the Lord, he sent back word that you're to run your race with joy, to complete your ministry with joy. Isn't that what the scripture says? Isn't that what Apostle Paul says? That none of these things move me? That I run this race with joy? Amen? And so when you let that spirit of grief get in there to choke the life out of you, you don't have joy. Are you at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13? Are you there? It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow or grieve as others who have no hope. Now, he wrote here, we're not to act like the world when we lose a loved one that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, sometimes I think, you know, people think, well, boy, if I can look pitiful, if I can be real sorrowful, they'll really know how much I loved them. And that will get you in trouble. It will open the door for grief to get in your life. Amen. You know, people like to dramatize everything. Well, I sure can't act like I'm happy or therefore nobody would think I cared about them. Well, if they're in heaven, either you believe it or you don't. If they're in heaven, it ought to be party time, rejoicing, thanking God they made it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he says, I don't want you to sorrow. I don't want you to get into grief as those who have no hope. Now, if you're alive, and you all are today, there ought to be somebody that knows that you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? We don't have to, you know, I I don't like doing funerals. I've did so many funerals. And if I don't know they're in Christ Jesus, I don't say nothing. Because I am not going to give somebody false hope if I don't know. Right? But, you know, when my dad went to be with the Lord, he was with the Lord. He was saved. He was changed. And grief tried to get a hold of me. But then I realized it. It come in and it said, you should have did this. You should have did that. What was he trying to do? Put guilt and condemnation on me. And I addressed him just by who he was. And I said, Satan, maybe I should have did this. Maybe I should have did that. But I didn't. And I'm not going to live my life thinking I should have or shouldn't have. Because if I do it all over again, I'd probably do the same thing I did. Now get out of here. See, you got to speak to it. If you begin petting it, then it wants to get on you and live with you. People today living under condemnation, living under guilt because they're the one that's alive and someone else is not. That's not what God has for you. That's not what God has for me. Are you getting anything this morning? So he says, we're not to sorrow as the world does, who has no hope. Because if we know they're in Christ Jesus, and we better make sure they're in Christ Jesus. Make sure you know. Give them the opportunity. You know, there has been so many people that in their 70s, 80s, they've got born again and then passed away right after that. I'd say at least two dozen that I've led to the Lord personally that had been in church, some of them all their life, but never heard about being born again and got saved and then passed away after that. But they passed away rejoicing. Amen. When I did their funeral, I could say they're in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're not to sorrow. Now, one translation says, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Amen. Amen. That's not the last word for a Christian. Amen. So we know you love them. We know, but let's not let grief get in there. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 61. Are you still with me? Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. I really tried to get a real nice Christmas message. Hallelujah. But this is good news that you don't have to carry the weight of grief around on you. Amen. That God didn't make us to carry that with us. We just buried my brother. Greg and I have been saved 36 years this summer. So my brother was one of them that I immediately began praying for. And we prayed for both of our families, but he was one on my side that I was praying for 36 years. I've witnessed to him, talked to him, but he was not interested. Well, he come down with a rare disease that affects your kidneys. It produces protein in your blood system, and with that protein, it'll attack your organs. So he was on dialysis 3 times a week, and he had to quit work. He was a construction worker, and they had to leave their home and move to town where they could get help if they needed it immediately. I'll just confess my sin to you. Hallelujah. So the week before Thanksgiving, I knew I should take him to dialysis. Now, I took him to dialysis before, talked to him about the Lord. He told me he was watching these two preachers on TV, which was good, but I told him, I said, you've got to be born again. You've got, you must be born again. And he said, well, when I get ready, you'll be the first to call. And so he, very stubborn, very prideful person, so I knew not to push it. And so here then, the week before Thanksgiving, I felt like I needed to, that week, take him to dialysis. And I hadn't been home for a while, and I was tired, and I let my flesh get the best of me. I decided I was not going to call and take him to the appointment. I would wait till after Thanksgiving the following week, and then I would take him. And I knew it was God. Now, don't look so holy. Y'all quit breathing there for a minute. Anybody ever did anything like that? Yeah, and I knew it was God, and I knew I should do it, but I just, no, I'm tired, I'm going to stay home. And so I didn't call, didn't take him. So Thanksgiving come, and on Friday we were at church, and we were decorating the church, Greg and I were, and I got a call from his wife, and she was hysterical. And she said he wasn't breathing. And she says, get here. And I said, we'll be right there. So we just locked up the church and left. And the ambulance come in right before we did. And they started working on him, and he was dead. And, of course, I was declaring he'll live and not die. He'll live and not die, but he was already gone. Probably when she found him, he was already gone. And so he died instantly. And so I thought, God, you were giving me the opportunity to know if he's going to, you know, if he made heaven or hell. And I missed that opportunity. Now I won't know till I get to heaven and see if he's there. Because I'm not going to let the devil torment me, right? Not going to let grief in. And anyway, I said, no, I repent. I repented. God, I should have obeyed. I should have obeyed and did when you said to do it. And it wasn't like I didn't know it was God. It wasn't like I was, you know, trying to decide if it was God or not. I knew it was God, and I just didn't want to do it. I was tired. I just didn't want to do it. And so, anyway, so I'll know when get to heaven. And so are you at Isaiah chapter 61? Let's finish with this. Are you getting anything today? And I love this. You know, Jesus, it says the Spirit of the Lord, verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now look at this, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Amen. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because you get into grief, it is a demonic spirit that, again, will suck the life out of you. And so we resist that. We speak to that. And if we've let it in, then God is faithful to cleanse us and to deliver us from that filthy spirit. That they may be called the trees of planting, the of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let's look over at Psalm 30, the last scripture this morning. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, I am happy. I am free. I have no spirit of grief. I have no spirit of mourning. I have nothing that has attached itself to me because I will not allow it. Because I am here to serve my God. Amen. I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. I'm not going to wither away and hide away from doing the work of the Lord because who's here or who's not here. Amen. Hey, I want to take as many to heaven with me as I can. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 30. Are you there? Look at verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Woo! Hallelujah! We don't operate in grief. We don't operate in sorrow. Amen? He has turned it into dancing. Hallelujah! You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Amen? You took off my mourning clothes. Don't put them on. Don't put them on. Amen? You know, I see people do the craziest things because they've lost a loved one. They'll set up memorial things, their pictures and all the candles around it. You know? And every time, then it brings a little sadness to them as they go by. Amen? Why torment yourself? Amen. Let's hope the person's in heaven, but if they're not, then worry about the living that haven't went there yet. Spend time praying or witnessing or making sure. Amen. Hallelujah. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. No matter what circumstances, no matter what, I'm going to sing, I'm going to dance, I'm going to rejoice. Amen. Amen. Because my God, hallelujah, hallelujah, has not changed his mind about anything. Amen. But yet people want to waste their lives away, mourning for something that they can't change. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus said we're going to the other side and the big old storm come, opposition come, they come and woke him up and said, don't you care? Because you're not acting the way we thought you ought to act. You know, I don't care what people expect me to act like. Amen. And if it's been said, if you got to ask somebody, don't you care? They probably don't care. Because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Amen. And I'm going to finish all my days in joy. I am going to finish the course and the race that God has set before me. Amen. Whoever comes, you know, it's just kind of like used to go to meetings and you never knew who was going with you and who wasn't. But I knew I was going. So I said, this car is pulling out at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Whoever's in the car can go. And if you're not in the car, don't worry about it. And so that's my attitude about life, too. I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of my life. And if you want to serve him, let's serve him together. If you don't, I'm not waiting on you. Amen? Amen. I am not going to be mourning. I'm not going to be regretting. I'm not going to be thinking what I should have did or what I shouldn't have did the rest of the days of my life. When people are dying and going to hell. Don't think that everybody that you know is born again because they're not. And so we can't let grief get into us. People will let it ruin their holidays. They'll let it ruin their holidays. Well, let's leave an empty spot here for Papa. Well, Papa ain't going to be eating there no more. Hey, make up new holidays. Make up new things you do. Do you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Just because you don't revolve around Papa don't mean you didn't love Papa. It means the rest of us are going to go on living. Right? We're going to go on living. We're going to go on doing what God wants us to do. Lay hands on the sick and see him healed. Cast out demons. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Merry Christmas to you.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.